I'd like to call this regular council meeting to order. Would you all please rise for the invocation?
We meet to serve our community and endeavor to be worthy custodians of all that has been entrusted to us. Let us be concerned only for what will promote good government. May we bring to our council chamber minds that think and hearts that feel, so that in our deliberations we may display imagination, wisdom, and courage, and the will to do our work for the good of all.
Before we sit down, this is the 16th anniversary of the acts that occurred. I wonder if we could all bow our heads for a moment. We have one addition to this evening's agenda, that is a delegation with respect to bylaw number one, amendments to bylaw number 1903, which is bylaw number 105 for 2017. That is Lewis Brown, and whether there was another request for someone to appear as a delegate, is that still on the? So at this stage of the game, Councillor Butler, I'm going to go to you then, if you'd like to move that we permit a further delegation.
Yes, if we could waive the rules of procedure and permit the next delegation as well. Or an extra delegation.
So you're talking about
Lloyd McGuigan?
Lloyd McGuigan.
From the Ridgeway Crystal Beach Kinsman Club.
With respect to the same matter?
Yes.
Okay. Do you have a seconder for that?
I'll second.
Questions or comments by any members of council? If not, all those in favor? That is carried. So Mr. McGuigan, you will be permitted to address council after Mr. Brown. There are no announcements this evening, and are there any disclosures of pecuniary interest? Councillor Butler.
Thank you, Your Worship. I'm declaring a pecuniary interest with report number 109-2017 as my business does business with Beam Construction.
Okay, so when we get to that bylaw, whoever has first and second reading and third reading will remove that from the package. If there are no other disclosures of pecuniary interest, there are three public meetings that are forthcoming. The first one is on September the 3rd, the zoning bylaw amendment for 397 Garrison Road, Peacebridge Subdivision. That will be held Monday, September the 18th at 6 p.m. in the town council chambers. And the information report for that public meeting will be available on the town's website on September the 13th. The second public meeting is with respect to an official plan amendment for property on Thompson Road, north of Bowen Road, north and south of Arcadia Street, and that will be held Monday, October the 2nd, 2017 at 6 p.m., and that is, again, in the town council chambers, and the information report for that will be available Wednesday, September the 27th. Final notice of public meetings is for the draft plan of subdivision and zoning bylaw amendment for Spears Garden Subdivision, which address of 1230 Pettit Road. That again will be on October the 2nd, 2017 at 6 p.m. in the Town Hall Council Chambers. And again, the information report will be available on Wednesday, September 27th. That takes us to the Regional Councillor's report. Good evening, Councillor Nunziata.
Good evening, Your Worship. Good evening, members of Council. Let's start by talking about our transportation master plan. As you're well aware, that the notice of completion did go out. Today was the last day that the documents were available for review on the region's website. So hopefully everyone has had an opportunity to comment. Those comments will be passed on to regional staff and certainly formulate the plan going forward. With respect to tenders, the Rosehill Water Treatment Plant upgrades for the town of Fort Erie, that tender closes September 19th, and at which time Rosehill Water Treatment Plant will be undergoing an $11 million upgrade. So more infrastructure dollars going into the protection of our water at Rosehill. This is of note to residents in the town of Fort Erie, and that in regards to curbside waste and recycling contract collection delays. So over the past few months, Niagara Region's waste and recycling collection contractor, MTERRA Environmental, has been experiencing ongoing staffing and fleet issues that have caused consistent delays in collection beyond the allowable hours of collection as specified in the collection contract. So Niagara Region staff have also been informed of increased reported missed collections. So staff are adhering to the terms and conditions of the contract and applying events of default occurrences associated with respect to liquidated damages as required. So MTERA has submitted a mitigation plan to regional staff. And again, they are addressing the staffing and fleet issues. But again, I encourage all residents, if there are any concerns, whether it's residential or commercial waste pickup, please contact me and we'll make sure that we remedy the situation as quickly as we can. This is a memorandum that came from the Niagara region. So any resident that receives a phone call with respect to this initiative, Niagara Region is undergoing a review of the support programs provided by Senior Services Community Programs to primary caregivers of those with Alzheimer's and other cognitive issues. The region has engaged a national research forum, Ipsos, to conduct several focus groups with residents to explore their perceptions around respite care and specific community needs. This research will aid in the design and enhancement of respite care services to better meet Niagara's needs. So over the next several weeks, Ipsos will be contacting residents across Niagara by telephone in order to recruit participants for these focus groups to be held later September of this month. So anyone who receives these questionnaires on the phone, it is a regionally initiated program. Two notices of traffic concerns. So the region did approve a speed limit reduction with respect to Garrison Road, and it has been reduced to 50. There's going to be a flashing 50-kilometer zone at the school. So that's one issue that motorists have to be aware of, that there's going to be flashing 50-kilometer speed limit zones on that new stretch in front of the new high school. And this one is in direct response to the construction that we will be starting later this month with respect to the Dominion Road reconstruction. And currently, the stretch between Burley and Rose Hill, I think it's posted 80 kilometers an hour. Because of the ongoing work that will be done, we are lowering the speed limit to 70 kilometers an hour. I believe Dominion Road's a really funny stretch where it goes 50 kilometers, 80 kilometers, and then back to 60 kilometers, I think, just beyond Rose Hill. So right now, that 80 stretch is being reduced to 70 kilometers an hour. So be mindful of those speed restrictions going forward. This is a special interest to anyone that uses the Niagara Specialized Transit Service. Now, as you recall, at the beginning of this year, the Niagara region reduced the fares to the NST, the Niagara Specialized Transit, to bring them to parity with the conventional transit fares. That program has been very, very oversubscribed. So going forward, a decision has to be made whether or not to raise the cost of the NST. And I know we had some significant feedback on the increased fares that staff had recommended. Regional Council put it down again, but now we are experiencing oversubscription to the program and a deficit shortfall of close to $720,000. So moving forward, I'm sure staff will be making a recommendation to increase the fare, and it'll be incumbent on council to find a mechanism that doesn't overburden ridership, but still operates with respect to close to cost recovery. So just be mindful of that. Harm reduction program enhancement for opioid response. So this is a program that the Niagara region is responding to, and as you know, the opioid crisis is pretty widespread throughout all of Canada. The region is responding through the Niagara Public Health, and more information regarding that response will be coming forward. I'll be happy to share it with this council once it's been finalized. Moving forward, and this is of concern probably to this council because the town of Fort Erie has been very, very successful with respect to the SNIP program. And for those that don't understand the acronyms, SNIP stands for the Smarter Niagara Incentive Program. So we did receive a planning report come forward, and because of the program's success, it has been very, very oversubscribed. We had to transfer $447,000 from the regional reserves into the overall budget to cover the costs of the oversubscription. So I just want to highlight some of the major points because I know it's going to be a concern with this council if in moving forward that program is not available. So because of budget pressures, the Smarter Niagara Incentive Program budget to date and subsequently moving forward, They are seeking funds to be transferred from reserves, $447,000. The Smarter Niagara Incentive Program is a suite of regional incentives designed to encourage revitalization and redevelopment by providing matching funding to local municipalities with complementary programs for locally approved projects. Requests from local municipalities for Smarter Niagara Incentive Program funding are processed on a first-come, first-served basis until monies in the annual budget are fully allocated. The current mechanism to allocate funding for the majority of grant types under the program is through municipally generated forecasting forms and associated required documentation, which means any approved applications come first to the municipalities, the town of Fort Erie, and then they go up to the region. The 2017 Council approved operating budget for Smarter Niagara incentive programs is $634,000. A combination of deficit and previous year commitment estimates and increased requests from local municipalities for SNP program matching funding to date has resulted in identified budget shortfall of $447,000. So moving forward, there will be a report coming to Regional Council end of this year, December 2017, hopefully with some recommendations. The process going forward now is to gather data and do some data mining and get the metrics to reinforce that this is a good program. It leverages private sector dollars, and it's good not only for Fort Erie, but certainly for our other partner municipalities that absolutely utilize this this program. So as it works right now, any applications received prior to August 4th will be honored. So I understand, speaking to Mr. Miller, that there are programs in the hopper, but yet they have not submitted a formal application. So if you've applied for the program prior to August 4th, they will be honored. Anything after that, unfortunately, we have to wait until 2018 for the new terms of reference. But I can assure this council, it is a valuable, worthy program, and we will be fighting at Regional Council to make sure that we maintain those incentive dollars for the SNP program. Intermunicipal Transit Steering Committee. So that group was finalized. And for the benefit of this council, the steering committee consists of the following from regional council: our chair Alan Caslin, Councillor Brian Beatty, Councillor Tony Quirk, and our worship Councillor Mayor Wayne Redekop. So that is the Niagara the Niagara region representation. In the transit working group, we do have Kelly Walsh representing the town of Fort Erie as well. So Fort Erie is very well represented on this committee. Moving forward, I'm sure that your worship will keep this council fully apprised of any happenings with respect to the transit program and how it impacts Fort Erie. Of note, reminder, October 2nd is the nomination deadline to nominate an outstanding physician in your community for the 2018 Council Award. So again, there is on the regional website, there is an application to forward a recommendation for an outstanding physician. I know we're blessed here in the town of Fort Erie to have many, many fantastic physicians, so I just wanted to make that aware to people that they can nominate an outstanding physician in our community. And I'll open it up to questions and comments.
Thank you very much, Councillor Nunziata, and you're correct. The SNP program, SNP has worked very well in Fort Erie. If one were to extrapolate the amount of money that we've committed to our community improvement programs, $634,000 would be a small portion. So more funding because it is very popular and it has generated significant private investment. Any members of council have any questions of Councillor Nunziata has raised? Councillor Butler.
Thank you, Your Worship. Thank you, Councillor Nunziata. I have a couple of questions for you. I know that in this world where we're trying to reduce our carbon footprint, there is a couple of things that I wanted to bring to your attention specifically about the GO train. So I've received a number of complaints with respect to the availability of the GO train and the fact that it stopped at Labor Day. It's not going to continue until Thanksgiving. So there's a big break in between, then Thanksgiving, and then we don't see it again. Is there a possibility where you could raise the voice for us and say, it's a bit ridiculous, you started late, you're ending early, what's the point? We want more of a fulsome availability from GO Train.
Excellent comments. And I've been hearing the same thing as well. Certainly, the decision makers at Queen's Park seem to forget about us down in the southern end of Ontario. So I'll be more than happy to bring that forward. I know that we're fighting tooth and nail to make sure that the GO plan is expedited as quickly as possible to meet the demands of the Canada Games. This is just another initiative with respect to the overall Metrolinx file with respect to Niagara. But great comments, and I'll be happy to bring those forward. It is a provincial issue. I have no problem bringing it forward and making sure that those of us at the region that are working towards GO and have been working towards GO for the past 2 or 3 years, we put that on the radar as well. In the interim, waiting for all the time, full-time GO Transit, if you can improve that programming, that would probably help, especially in this climate where the tourism sector has enjoyed the most outstanding year in tourism on the books. People seem to forget that the region of Niagara expands to a population of 14 million. So everyone talks in terms of population being 460,000 for the region of Niagara. It's closer to 14 million, and that's how many visitors the region of Niagara experiences on an annual basis. 14 million is a lot of people. It only makes sense. So great comments, Councillor Butler. I'll be happy to bring those forward.
Thank you. And just to add a couple of extra things to that, when the constituent that brought it to my attention asked me to go on site to take a look at the programming and to help them facilitate when the time schedule was, there's very little to offer. So maybe they can, yeah, it's crazy. And then there was determination about Grimsby being the spot. When is the year that that's going to happen and completion?
So we're working on the master plan right now, and actually we are going through a site plan specific to that location. So as you know, on the calendar, when Niagara officially gets go all the time, full-time, the Grimsby station is the first location. I know they're actively putting a plan together right now, even regards to the architectural renderings of the actual GO station. So that's all coming forward. I'll be very, very diligent in making sure that the council is fully aware when that process and those reports come to regional council, and I'll be sharing it with this council through the help of Mayor Redekop, who sits on, and Councillor Nutt, that sits on the Transportation Steering Committee. We can all kind of lend a voice and make sure that this council is fully aware.
Okay. Is there an estimated year?
As far as the build-out?
Okay.
Great. As far as the build-out goes, 2018, correct.
Okay, and Your Worship, if I may, just two more questions with respect to the intermunicipality transportation. There are some university students from Fort Erie who have been traveling to get to their prospective schools, and they're having a little bit difficulty with the timing of the bus schedule. So if they're not at Walmart at a certain specific time, they're waiting a very long time. Is there anything that we can do to accommodate better transit times? There's nothing.
So that's something that we can follow up with Mr. Walsh. We have a contract with the City of Niagara Falls to move people from as part of the intermunicipal transit system. So if you could maybe bring that to Mr. Walsh's attention, he can look into that.
Thank you.
Any other councillors? Thank you very much, Councillor Annunziata.
You're welcome.
That then takes us to presentations and delegations, and the first presentation is by Mr. Dennis Hernandez-Galliano, the Chair, and Richard Patterack, a member of the Fort Erie Active Transportation Committee. Good evening, gentlemen. It's on now. Should be on. That must not be hooked up.
That's fine. I'll just speak a little louder. There you go.
I found another button.
There you go. I guess the on-off button's behind Mayor Radikoff's seat there. Fortunately for you, you're not going to be hearing me talk too much today. I owe the honor to our new member of the FEED committee. His name is Mr. Richard Patterack. He's come to us from, remind me where from? Kelden. He's a recent new resident in Fort Erie, and he signed on after seeing us at our Ridgeway forum that we have every year at the Ridgeway Festival, not this summer, but the summer before that. He signed on, and we've been more than happy that he has. He's brought his experience as a politician in his past work experience, and we love having him on. So I kind of give the floor to Mr. Patterack, and I'm just here to be his wingman tonight, so I have the pleasure of hearing his voice tonight.
Good evening, Mr. Padarak.
Thank you, Mayor Redikoff and members of council. It's my pleasure to be before you this evening talking about both FEET and the resolution which is on your agenda. I'd preface my remarks by saying we've had a very successful summer. We had a booth at the Ridgeway Festival, and this year it was right on the trailway where that very impressive repair station is located. And we took the opportunity to highlight the fact that safety requirements have been upped for bicycles by the province in the last little while. The Highway Traffic Act was amended, and now bells are required. So we purchased a number of bells, and we made about 75 bicyclists very happy by installing the bells on the bikes. And for anybody that's manned a community booth at a festival, you know that it can be a good experience, it can be a bad experience, it can be a slow experience. Well, we had a great time. Those bells were, they rang the bell for us. And the other thing we did this summer is, with the help of our friend Chris Miller, we launched an online survey asking the members of the public how they felt about FEET and some of the work we're doing. And we had a very good response. Nearly 100 people responded, and their response to us was overwhelmingly in favor of what we're doing. So we feel very encouraged by the way the public is reacting to the town of Fort Erie's initiative to form a FEET committee and the work of FEET. The formal purpose of our delegation this evening is to discuss briefly a motion asking the regional government, the region of Niagara, to consider putting in their long-term planning the bicycle lanes from Stevensville to Ridgeway. As we all know, infrastructure requires long-term planning, and I'm sure the region of Niagara has a 10-year plan for their capital, and I would hate to see that we would miss a cycle of repaving of that stretch of road without there being due consideration of full bicycle lanes on both sides. Active transportation is gaining traction across the province. There's funding available from time to time, but there has to be a plan in place. As you've probably all heard many times, the province is entertaining requests for funding for shovel-ready projects. So that's one of the reasons why we want to get ahead of the curve and get this on the books as something that's quite important to the town of Fort Erie. The other thing that's really important is equity in services. Right now, the settlement of Stevensville is the sore thumb out there without any connection to the existing active transportation, which is primarily the Friendship Trail. So we think it's very important, and that's why we've brought it forward at this time. Our motion highlights the need for an active transportation master plan, and so I would segue into the need for that plan. With provincial initiatives and periodic grant cycles, master plan is a requirement. The sooner the master plan is in place, the better for Fort Erie. A master plan will aid the town in inclusion of active transportation facilities in its development charges bylaw. I don't know if they were included in the last round of amendments to your bylaw, but certainly you want to include all forms of infrastructure and to peg that community standard that you have so you can take advantage of development charges to pay for any expansions of the service, which we would hope would occur in time. With that, I think the motion is fairly self-explanatory, but I would be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Thank you very much, Mr. Padarak. And I believe that your minutes indicated that this is on the region's radar, and in fact, at the last Transportation Steering Committee meeting that we were at, I believe that there was an indication that there is a plan going forward with respect to all regional roads and how they will be reconstructed to include cycling facilities as well. Councillor Nutt.
Thank you, Your Worship. Just to piggyback on what you said, Mr. Paderak, I'd be more than happy to take your motion when we meet next on September 19th. That's when the Active Transportation Committee will next be meeting, and I'll be in attendance at that meeting, so I'll gladly take your motion there. As the mayor did state, conceptually, we were shown what's called a complete street, which includes full sidewalks, bike lanes, a lot to do with foot activity and, you know, other modes of transportation as well. That's the region's planning out for Stevensville Road. So connecting to the Friendship Trail in through Black Creek may be somewhat of a challenge just because the Ministry of Transportation has to be involved because the QEW corridor runs dividing Black Creek and Stevensville. But I know that I have been shown and have seen the conceptual designs for Stevensville Road leading into Ridgeway, which I can assure you, Councillor Nunziata, the mayor, and myself all sit on the Active Transportation Committee, and we have been advocating for more east-west as opposed to just north-south flow of traffic. So I'd be more than happy to take any information and present it to Ron Tripp, the Director of Infrastructure, there for you.
Thank you very much. I neglected to hand these out. Hello, stretch of road that we're talking about, which right now has approximately two and a half feet of paving between the solid white line and the gravel. And there's another 2 or 3 feet of gravel along most of it. There are a couple of passings where it goes over creeks where it's a little narrower. But for the most part, it seems like a very doable project, which wouldn't involve a lot of extra dollars, and does have some positive things for the maintenance of the road in terms of winter clearance and edge break on the road when the wing plow goes out, sweeps away all the snow.
Any other councillors? Councillor Passero.
Thank you, Your Worship. Thank you, Dennis and Richard, for coming tonight. Just wanted to say thank you for your efforts over the last number of years on the FEET committee. I know that even though tonight is kind of a 5 or 6 minute delegation, but the request has really been leading up to this point. So a lot of the work and initiatives that FEET has been undertaking and a lot of the discussions is leading towards this active transportation master plan. And I'll be working over the next few months to convince my colleagues of the necessity because I do believe that it would bode well for us in the long term, specifically for planning, but also helping us to finish off a number of initiatives as well, one of them being our walking web, loops of sidewalk that are missing segments. Those are all things that would be encompassed. So thank you for your time tonight. I see there's other members of the committee here as well, and I want to thank Mr. Miller as well for his hard work and the time that he puts in. So thank you all for coming tonight. Thank you.
Thank you. We would also applaud Mr. Miller. He's been absolutely superb in supporting the committee and being our glorified gopher sometimes.
You'll be happy to know then, Mr. Paderak, that Mr. Miller has a brand new office here in Town Hall with big windows and the best view of the high school except for the CAO. So obviously his work is being recognized all around.
Good. Glad to hear that.
Councillor Nutt, you had something further?
Thank you. I was just wondering if I provided my card, would you be able to email your motion to me so that I can have it on my tablet when I – oh, it's in the minutes?
It's okay. In the minutes, yeah.
Okay, if there are no other comments, thank you very much, gentlemen.
Well, thank you.
And we will be dealing with your minutes later this evening. And as Councillor Nutt has indicated, September the 19th is our next Transportation Steering Committee meeting at the region. Thank you. That then takes us to Daryl Neufeld, Chair of the Board for the Alzheimer's Society of Niagara Region. Good evening.
Good evening. Mayor Redicup, members of council, town staff and members of the public. It's a pleasure for me to appear this evening. Thank you for the opportunity to share a little bit about our upcoming annual coffee break campaign, which is now in its 22nd year. And as a bit of a side note, I'm proud of the fact that the annual coffee break campaign got its start right here in Niagara. And 22 years ago, I was a young public relations and communications fella who was volunteering my time with the Alzheimer's Society and was around for that first coffee break campaign. So I've been associated with it in one form or another for the last couple of decades. So this year's Coffee Break campaign, or the National Coffee Break Day, is Thursday, September 21st, which also coincides with World Alzheimer's Day. More than 10,000 coffee breaks are expected to take place across the country on that day. And in Niagara, our campaign will kick off with a flag raising and barbecue at the Niagara-on-the-Lake Town Hall in Virgil, hosted by this year's honorary chair, the Honorable Rob Nicholson, MP for Niagara Falls. Dementia doesn't discriminate. It can affect anyone, regardless of background, education, lifestyle, or status. It's estimated that 564,000 Canadians are currently living with a dementia, and in less than 15 years' time, that number will climb to nearly 1 million. Alzheimer's disease is already the seventh leading cause of death in Canada, and it will only continue to grow as a public health concern. The annual cost to care for those with dementia is currently estimated at just over $10 billion. Mr. Nicholson proposed a private member's bill to establish a national dementia strategy to help tackle the effect of dementia. And we are pleased to say that his leadership and support resulted in Bill C-233, which became law on June 22nd of this year. This private member's bill creates a Canadian Alzheimer's Disease and Dementia Partnership, bringing together researchers, clinicians, healthcare providers, and private industry to work alongside Canadians living with dementia to develop and implement a national strategy. The overall effect of a national dementia strategy for Canada will be better local management of dementia, resulting in improved quality of life and care. In Niagara, there are nearly 10,000 people experiencing a progressive dementia, and the number of cases continues to grow. Last year, we saw almost 1,900 new referrals to our society, and at any given time, we have 750 families receiving service in our family support and intensive case programs. More impressively, we provided education to almost 11,000 participants from the general public and healthcare field. The mission of our society is to advocate for people with dementia and their care partners living in Niagara and provide access to a diverse range of appropriate resources and supports throughout their difficult journey that will assist them in remaining independent in their homes and communities for as long as possible. We offer people living with dementia a welcoming place where they can access information and support, as well as connect with others who share a similar experience. By accessing education, personalized in-home support services, and wellness programs, families can better understand dementia, navigate the health system, and access the resources they need when they need them. To support a large variety of programs, the majority of which focus on those with early-stage dementia and are provided at no charge, our society must fundraise for approximately $500,000 each year, and Coffee Break is our signature event. Coffee breaks are an opportunity for organizations to invite coworkers, customers, family, friends, neighbors to come together to enjoy a cup of coffee or other beverage at a break time or another social get-together in exchange for a donation to support the work of your local Alzheimer's Society. Hosting a coffee break is fun, it's easy to organize, and a great social opportunity. Our society supplies a free kit, which each host supplies, while each host supplies the people and the location. The kit includes coffee for that first pot, supplied locally by Barkley and Todd's, promotional signage and literature, as well as a donation box. While many of the Alzheimer's coffee breaks in Canada will be held on the national day, you can choose a date that is more convenient for you, since the Niagara campaign runs from September through to December. Coffee break events are held in homes, workplaces, community centers, schools, churches, city halls, retail outlets, just about anywhere you can imagine a social gathering can take place, and where coffee or other beverages or food can be served and a donation collected. Some of the most successful events have been a result of doing something a little different, whether it's a barbecue, open house, raffle, dress down days, selling coffee cup or forget-me-not decals, or rounding up your bill at the cash register. No coffee break event is too big or too small, and each one makes a difference in the lives of those affected by dementia living in Niagara. Last year, thanks to this council and over 150 hosts, we raised more than $77,000. So on behalf of the Society, thank you for your support. This year, more than ever, we hope we can count on your support again to reach our goal of $100,000. Organizing or taking part in a coffee break event in your community has the potential to raise awareness and encourage discussion about Alzheimer's disease and dementia. It not only makes all of the society's accomplishments possible, but it ensures that individuals and their families, your loved ones, friends, or neighbors, know that they are not alone in their journey. I'm here to ask you to consider, once again, hosting a coffee break event to make your coffee count. It's a fun and easy way to raise or to raise support for the Alzheimer's Society. And anyone can register for a free coffee break kit by contacting the Alzheimer's Society by phone or by visiting our website. Thank you for your time this evening and your consideration in making a difference in your community today and making memories matter. And Mayor Reddick, if I may, I'd like to present you with a coffee break host kit.
Perfect. That'd be wonderful. Mr. Neufeld, we very much appreciate the work of your society with respect to this particular situation, malady. It affects many, many, many families, as you know, and you're to be commended as well for your involvement in this. Do any members of council have any questions? If not, we would be pleased to, again, host a coffee event this year, and I was just making some notes as to when we will do that, but I will work with our staff to make sure that we contribute again, and good luck in this year's campaign.
Thank you very much. Thank you for your time again, and thank you so much for your support. It's much appreciated.
Great. Thank you.
Night.
Okay, that takes us then to our next delegation, which is Barb Hopkins, president of Royal Canadian Legion Branch 230. Good evening.
Good evening. I know my age now, so.
Lots of young people wear glasses.
I called and asked for an opportunity to make a presentation on Legion Week because I'm discovering that a lot of people don't understand why we even have a Legion Week. And it's an opportunity to celebrate our rich heritage and our bright future. The Royal Canadian Legion is widely known and highly respected for its remarkable dedication to honouring the service and sacrifice of our veterans. The Legion is also recognized for providing vital support services to Canada's veterans, their dependents, and those still serving in the Canadian Forces. What is less known is the breadth and depth of their service to the community at large throughout Canada. In this province, the Ontario Command of the Legion is the largest service-oriented organization in Ontario with more than 100,000 members who make significant and wide-ranging contributions. For example, they sponsor community programs for youth and seniors, raise funds for medical care and communities affected by natural disasters. In 1953, a group of comrades from the Honourable Ray Lawson Branch, number 28 in Kent, Ontario, and the Corporal Harry Minor VC Branch, number 185 in Blenheim, Ontario, got together to discuss how they may possibly spread the word of exactly what the Legion is all about within their respective communities. In that same year, the first Legion Week was hosted by Branch 113 in Dresden, Ontario, with an open house, inviting the general public to come in and learn for themselves exactly what goes on within a branch and what the branch in turn does for the community. In 1975, the whole District A commenced a Legion Week, and in 1980, after considerable debate and consideration, Ontario Command Provincial Executive Committee unanimously decided that this would be an ideal annual event and that it be included under the mandate of the Ontario Provincial Command Public Relations Committee. By convention statute, Legion Week in Ontario was declared to be the third week in the month of September of each year, commencing on the Sunday and ending on the Saturday, which is why I sent a letter asking the town of Fort Erie to proclaim September the 17th to the 23rd Legion Week. Ontario Provincial Command of the Royal Canadian Legion represents 9 districts, which includes over 400 branches, and again, reminding us that we have 100,000 members. We are a nonprofit organization assuming the responsibility of maintaining the tradition of remembrance of those who paid the supreme sacrifice by defending our great nation in past and present conflicts, so that we as Canadians can live in the freedom that we enjoy today. We continue to support and represent our veterans of past and present with many benefits as a result of the determination of our thousands of dedicated members at all levels of the organization. Legion branches across the province work together with their affiliated organizations to raise funds in support of the many programs within Ontario Command of the Royal Canadian Legion. With millions of dollars being raised from branches and projects, the Legion supports numerous programs benefiting our veterans, seniors, and youth within our communities. I'm most proud of the fact that last year we gave away our particular branch gave $10,000 in high school bursaries, and this year we gave another $9,000. We have requested the town to declare September the 17th to the 23rd as Legion Week. Both Legions in Fort Erie will be welcoming the community during Legion Week with various events. Birdie Branch 230 in Ridgeway has a full week of events focused for the entire community, and everyone is welcome. We're trying to cover all age brackets. Monday, September the 18th at 9 a.m., there will be a flag-raising ceremony at Town Hall. Tuesday, September the 19th, there will be Open Sports Day. Come on in and play darts, shuffleboard, snooker, free pool, dominoes, or anything else that you might be able to find to enjoy yourself with at the Legion. Wednesday, September the 20th, an open house of our local history from 3 till 7, followed by a family-friendly movie. Thursday, September the 21st, a high tea from 2 to 4, which we have invited all of our local seniors to and anyone that wants to come in with them. Then in the evening, we will be joining Branch 56 of Port Colborne in their parade in Waynefleet. Friday, September the 22nd, after our weekly fish fry, there will be a special karaoke featuring music from the 40s through to today. And I would like to thank the council for allowing me the time to inform you of our special week. And I'm going to wrap up by presenting Mayor Redekop with the flag that we will raise on Monday. And I have asked our oldest veteran to come forward and present you with a special medal designed by the Royal Canadian Legion representing Canada's 150th year.
Excellent. I will entrust this flag to my assistant so that we have it for Monday's flag raising. And thank you very much for this medal. This is cool. And I see that you also have Mrs. Krottinger here, who's one of your oldest members as well, which is excellent. Are there any members of council who have any questions? Councilor Passero.
Thank you, Worship. I just wanted to say thank you to Barb. I know that Branch 230 has seen quite a turnaround in the last number of years, and I know that there's a great team over there at Branch 230, but a lot of it has been due to your leadership and your support and your enthusiasm.
Thank you.
For my colleague's reference, who may not know, Barb also plays a number of roles in the community. She's the secretary to one of our committees, which is a very thankless job, and a number of initiatives around town. And I don't quite often get the opportunity to see you in this setting, but it is appreciated by the people that you serve. Thank you.
Notice you didn't mention the name of that committee, and I'm not going to mention it either.
Thank you.
If there are no other questions, thank you very much, and we'll see you on Monday morning. The next delegation, then, is Axel Winkelmann. With respect to a request for removal of some municipal charges and a release of a letter of credit. Good evening, sir.
Good evening, Mayor, members of council. I guess I'm in front of you tonight because originally the 8 townhomes on Cambridge Road East were dealt with and put into existence by council and staff for administrative reasons must refer the matter to council and cannot deal with it themselves, as has been explained to me. What I'd like to request, and there's a little bit of an error in the way it's worded there, it says a change, it should be a removal of charge and the release of that from the letter of credit for 129-0976 Ontario Limited. That deals with the 8 townhomes that are located on Cambridge Road East. Now I have basically taken some pictures, starting from each direction here, just taken in various spots going from Meister Suites, heading on down the road towards the townhome. Picture 7 is the new curb or sidewalk that was put in, and pictures 8 through 10 are the front of the townhomes themselves. As you can see from the pictures, it's fairly similar to any of the smaller roads there in Crystal Beach. There's some maintenance required everywhere. Just older roads needing some repair. The roadway in front of the townhomes, I would argue, is as good or better than the rest of the roads. And we've been asked to put in sidewalks, done. The neighbor immediately adjacent to us, who put in another unit, was not asked to do that. Was not asked to provide road, a road improvement charge, and we feel that that's an onerous quest on us. That, with council's blessing and approval, to be removed.
You want us to look at these photos? Did you have further comments?
No, if you can take a look at the photos, it's sort of self-explanatory, and I think you'll see from the photos that the maintain the road there. You know, obviously there's patchwork from when you take the water line across, but it's been done very nicely, and it's in fact good or better than most of the sections of the road. There are quite a lot of places where repaving, with, you know, the next year, couple of years or so, will be merited, but that goes across most of the areas in that older section of Crystal Beach.
Thank you. Any members of council have any questions at this point?
I should mention as well, too, that this is the last letter of credit we have, and it's tied up in an estate. It's the last remaining item that's coming out of an estate, and it's something which we'd like to get settled.
What does that mean, it's coming out of an estate?
It was originally put up by one of the guarantors on the mortgages, Ben Sauter, very well known. I don't know if he's known here, but a lot of his estate, which is being settled up, is going to the state of Israel. Last hold up in several millions involved, and here we have a small little thing holding all of that up.
Okay, and what have you been advised by staff is the reason why these are still being held?
Well, I have. There were three items on there. There's the provision of trees. One of the trees was not available. We've talked to staff, and they've suggested some other trees of suitable.
These are trees to be planted?
These are trees to be planted. We have no problem with that, just switching around.
And how many trees are there that need to be planted?
I think originally we had one, but we're doing, where is it now?
Four trees
that we're doing.
And so just help us out here. So the town is requiring that security be held until those trees are planted?
That's fine if we do that. Right now, but it's a minor, you know, $750, $1,000, something like that, trees. Not a big part of this. And there's a grading report as well that's due, which is a couple of $1,000. The main part of it, about $12,000, is total. That's what we're requesting be removed. Substitute the other.
And your understanding with respect to the road charge is what? There's something that you're supposed to be doing, and therefore.
Well, we're supposed to be contributing to a charge for taking care of the road in an appropriate way to patch it and everything. It's been a few years since this was done, almost 5 years, and I think that in fairness, it's done sidewalks, we've done curbs. Other people have subsequently not been asked to do those things, immediately beside us, no less. Like, it's a little onerous that not only did we do the sidewalks that they don't have to do, or the curbs that they don't have to do, but we're getting charged for equitable in the circumstances. Council sees that as well, and operate with our request.
From my perspective, I don't know much of the background here at all. I'd have to look to staff to provide some background information. There may be other counselors that have more knowledge about this than I do, or they may be in the same boat that I'm in, but I'll ask counselors if they have any questions of you right now. And other than that, I would presume that under new business, we will ask staff to provide us with some background from the town's perspective.
When I had called in, I understood that, or I got an email anyway, that from staff, or had been asked.
I don't know that that's been, it could be that there was a memo that was sent out.
Okay.
So I did read a memo. It's always better if it's with the package, because then it doesn't get lost in the hundreds of emails that we get. Are there any members of council who have any questions right now?
think the unusual part here is that council has to deal with it, and
yep.
staff can't for some reason.
Yep, no, that's fair enough. So we will we'll look into this further as we get into the agenda.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
You're more than welcome, Mr. Winkleman. That takes us to our next delegation. And, Madam Clerk, I noticed that on the addendum you wanted a resolution passed to permit Mr. Brown to proceed. I just assumed that since we had dealt with it earlier enough, such as the end of last week, that the resolution wasn't necessary. But if you feel that it's appropriate, we can have Councillor Butler that resolution as well. Do you have it? This is the one with respect to Mr. Brown.
Thank you, Your Worship. That moved by myself, seconded by Councillor McDermott, the Council permits the urgent delegation of Lewis Brown regarding an amendment to Parks and Beaches Bylaw Number 119-03 with respect to amplified music.
Any members of Council have any questions? All those in favor? None opposed? That is carried. Mr. Brown, good evening. You're up. And we do have your comments, which you, I believe, circulated.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. And members of the council, sorry for the typographical errors in it, but
not at all.
My name is Lewis Brown, and I'm here to express my views on the changes to Bylaw 119-03, amplified music in our community centers. I live across the street, about 200 feet from the community center, that sits in the Bill Connolly Field Park in the Thunder Bay area of Ridgeway. For the past year, in the evenings, on a weekly basis, there's been a group of people playing or jamming very loud music inside the hall, with no respect for their noise being heard outside of the building. The music is so loud that I can hear it from inside my home, be it winter or summer. And if I'm outside, it sounds like the band's pretty well on my own property. It's very loud. The hall does not seem to have the proper acoustics for loud music, especially when the band is playing to themselves. If there were a sizable audience inside, it might dampen the volume a little. Before changing this bylaw, I'm suggesting that you take into consideration the close proximity to the surrounding homes and also the kiddies' playground. It's only about 50 feet from the corner of the building. And I hope that this will help you plan just how far away from the building that level of music should be heard by people that did not choose to hear it at all. Please keep in mind this is a nice, quiet neighborhood park. We certainly don't want the community center to turn into an area with the atmosphere of a noisy hotel bar. Mary Redekop and Council, this concludes my comments, and thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Brown. Before you go, maybe members of Council have questions. Councillor Butler.
Thank you, Your Worship. Thank you, Mr. Brown, for your presentation. I did meet with Mr. Brown on Friday evening. I had been there on a prior occasion, but I did not hear the music as loud as it has been, and that leads me to believe that perhaps they were not playing on the night that I originally went. But on Friday night, it was very loud. It was very obnoxious. Although the music was good, the effect of how loud it was you couldn't ignore it, especially on the Hyman side of the building. However, on the other side of the building, on the other opposite street, you couldn't hear it at all. And my question is to you, Mr. Brown, and we had discussed this on Friday as well, that it's not so much that the music is playing, but the respect for the noise level. And you know, as well as I do, that the Ridgeway Crystal Beach Kinsmen Club, and my question to you is, they are continually raising funds, and this is how they do that, is by having events. This particular one is not an event. This is more of a jamming session than anything else. But how do you feel about the RCB Kinsmen having events at their location to raise funds, because it is something that goes right directly into the community?
Yes, I understand events. That's why I mentioned here, if there's an audience inside, it's like acoustics. It just dampens the sound down. And believe me, if there's people in there that are playing music and there's a group playing, and if they're too loud for those people, they will tell the band, hey, turn it down, or we can't hear you, turn it up a little bit. It's not a big hall. It shouldn't be hard to do. It's when people are playing music just for themselves If you put a band here with an empty hall, it's going to, well, if you took out the chairs, it'd be very, very loud. But as soon as you fill up the room, you turn up your mics and you turn everything up so everybody can hear you. But yeah, I'm not saying close it down. I'm saying get the music toned down so that you don't hear it outside. I'm just me. There's all these parents that sit with their little kids in the playground outside too, till about now it's about 8:15 at night, in the evening. But yeah, I'm not trying to close it down on Lloyd. No. They're a good group and they should be able to keep funds going. Thank you.
Thank you.
Councillor Passero.
Thank you, Mr. Brown, for coming forward and expressing your concern. So if what I'm hearing is correct, then it's not necessarily that you take exception to their being able to utilize the facility in the manner that we're considering, but it's just they need to be more cognizant of the groups they're allowing to rent the hall and how they're allowing those groups to utilize the hall if it is amplified music. The noise. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Before you go away, Mr. Brown, are there any other councillors? I just had a couple of questions myself. Are you familiar with the fact that the town has a public nuisances and noise bylaw?
Yes.
Okay. Have you ever felt obligated to call the police about the noise coming
across? No. Sorry.
You don't want to be a bad neighbor.
I'm sorry?
You don't want to be a bad neighbor, so you're reluctant to call the police?
No, I think it's a waste of money when I can walk across the road and talk to the band members themselves, which I did.
I see.
And then I talked to Lloyd about it as well.
Did that help?
No. So that's why I finally went to the town, because the town owns it.
And what time during the evenings has this music been played? The jam
starts maybe 7:30 till 11, just shortly after 11.
And so the gist of your position is that events that require a permit from the municipality, which would typically have people, create less noise because there's some self-monitoring, number one, and number two, there's some baffling of the noise by people.
Yes, you're talking inside or outside?
Inside.
Inside. Yes, I can see that. I didn't think they needed a permit for inside.
Well, that's the current state of the law. The current state of the law. And that's what the amendment tries to address. So you're here appropriate time and appropriate issue.
Thank you.
That takes us into our next delegate, and that is Lloyd McGuigan. Good evening.
Council. My name is Lloyd McGuigan. I am a Ridgeway Crystal Beach Kingsman. I've been a Kingsman for over 15 years. This is Barb Horning. She's a new member of our club for a couple years, but been well within the community in other clubs and groups. And we just came to talk a little bit about the rebuttal of the amendment on the table here. And, well, one of the things we try to do at the club is we don't rent it out to certain events. So we try to be respectful to the community. We don't do stags. We don't do weddings. And we don't do those events because they're louder. When you have, like, what are you saying about if the band is playing and you have more people? If you have more people, you have more other noise. You have people outside now at 11 o'clock at night. And you guys have all been to weddings and stags, and people are out there smoking, and they're making a lot of noise. So that kind of brings up different noise. The event that's in question, it's not really an event. It's a group of older gentlemen. I'm not sure if there's any ladies involved in it, but it's basically what they're doing is they're like 50-60-year-old men and women, I guess, and they just rehearse, and they're just getting together, reliving their youth, basically. It's basically a rental. It's not really an event, per se. So that's what we try to do. We try to rent the hall to make it pay for the hall. We don't use our funds from our events for the expenses of the hall. That's not what we do events for. The hall is more or less try to take care of itself by rentals and by renting it out to different things. Like, we have a lot of kids' parties on Saturdays. And we only rent it at cost, basically $50. And I believe we rent it to Andy. I think it's like $20 every Friday. So it's basically just covering its cost. And that's all we need the hall for. Our club never had a facility. We have one now. It's taken a lot of years. Our club is over 60 years old. and we never had it, and now we have it. We don't want to give it up, but if we can't do hall rentals, we can't keep the hall. It's as simple as that. And we all know what the town wanted to do with the hall before we took it over and refurbished it. They were just going to tear it down. So I fear that's probably what would happen. I'm not trying to say that we won't try and keep the hall without rentals, but it's going to be pretty hard. That's pretty much all I have to say about it.
Yeah, thank you very much, Mr. McGuigan. I think we all on council support the work of the Ridgeway Crystal Beach Kinsmen. That's not really an issue here. The issue seems to be the noise from this one group that you're renting it to. Do any members of council have any questions of Mr. McGuigan? Councillor Butler.
Thank you, Your Worship. I don't have a lot of questions. I just do have some comments and maybe a conversation with you. But we have spoken with respect to this, and for the most part, the council is on board with pushing forward with a non-permit status in up to a certain time limit, as we discussed. I think the issue that I have, and I've been very supportive of your club, and I want to congratulate you because you and your team put a lot of sweat equity into that club and made it very lovely inside, without any funds coming from outside parties. So I appreciate that. I'm sure the municipality appreciates that as well. I think the problem that I have with this Friday situation is that it's not the first time that this group has been asked to tone it down a couple of decimals. And even when I went there on Friday, the music is lovely, don't get me wrong, but I couldn't hear any vocals because the music was so loud. You couldn't hear the vocals. It was drowned out completely. And I have a problem with the fact that when you cross the street and you make an attempt and ask politely to be respectful of the neighbors outside and turn it down, and it doesn't get turned down right away, and it waits, then I have a problem with that because that's not my impression of being asked the first time. It's been several times. And so if you know after several attempts of people asking you to lower that decimal rating, you should be respectful and mindful of that. The fact that it wasn't, it kind of leads me to believe that this is going to be repetitious going forward. So you have to get a handle on that one. But, you know, at the end of the day, I love what you do. I'm supportive of that. I believe you should be having events there when you can to raise funds. If it is weddings, I think you should have the weddings. I think you should do what you have to do to be able to keep that operational.
Just know, though, that wasn't the reason we applied for this, though. We probably will not be doing stags and weddings and stuff. We're older, too. We don't want to be up that late.
Right.
But, you know, rentals, like what's happening now, yeah, we would be doing that. But that doesn't mean we can't make improvements by, I don't know, soundproofing the windows even with something, you know.
I think you'd have to soundproof that whole entire L shape because that's where it's penetrating from.
It's an expensive thing to do, though.
Hmm.
You know.
Yeah.
I can't commit to say we would do that, so I'm just saying.
We'd have to have a fundraiser.
Yeah, we'd have to have a fundraiser to do that.
But I think that, and perhaps you can speak to this, but wouldn't you agree that it would be beneficial that if you are going to lease the premises for that purpose, that you have something in your contract that says, be mindful of the residents and the decimals can't be above a certain level?
Absolutely, but keep in mind, too, I was notified of this like about 6 months ago. And I did notify the renter, and then I never heard anything again until I got notified by council, or by staff, actually, sorry. So, I mean, I just assumed everything was fine. It's not like as if it was brought up to me every week. It was months. I had no idea there was still a problem with a neighbor.
Councilor McDermott, did you have your hand up?
Well, Councilor Butler's covered most of my stuff. My thing is I've been at a band myself for many, many years and try to find different places to practice. It's very difficult to do. And I know your hall's in a situation different than many others, that you do have a lot of residents on the front of the building. So, you know, I think it's pretty much incumbent that if this band is going to continue to do this on Friday nights or whatever nights they do it, I mean, I think they have to be cognizant of the fact that it really doesn't matter what time of day it is or what time of night it is. If somebody asks politely to turn it down, you don't turn it down. could face a fine for a noise bylaw. Like,
exactly.
We've done the same thing where, you know, we couldn't find a place. So some Sunday afternoons we go out and play it outside at our house. And we'd load the terraces up at Stanton Street School with 500 to 600 people wanting to listen. One complaint shuts you down. Doesn't matter if it's one in the afternoon or not. And so, you know, I would say that, like, I agree with what Councillor Butler is trying to put forth, but I think that we really do have to show some respect for the neighbors until such time comes that some sort of fundraising effort to help quell that down the line will be done. I mean, I know you two. You're both very reasonable people, but I kind of think that it's incumbent when you rent that out to let them know, to let them know what the rules and regulations are. That's my thought.
Okay. Any other councillors? Ms. Anko.
Thank you. Through you, to Mr. Miglian. I'm very thankful of the work you guys do. I guess I'm kind of confused by all of this because initially when I seen your request, and actually Councillor Butler's motion, I thought that the request was essentially to support you with fundraising events and to provide, you know, some sort of allocations as far as noise goes. So now I'm a little confused because essentially by supporting this bylaw change, we would be, and I could be wrong, you're saying it's supporting basically you to rent out to group band sessions for the $20.
No, we couldn't be doing that like constantly, no.
Okay.
It's not like we're going to start letting bands take our clubhouse every night. That just happens to be that renter, and this is where the volume of this renter has caused this problem. This is the neighbor feels that it's too loud on that Friday night. We haven't had complaints from that neighbor or any other neighbor for any other events we do. Right. The purpose of this bylaw change was so we didn't always have to apply to town to have an event. Where other halls, they don't have to do that. They just rent it out. We have some people, like, for example, when we had that that fire in Ridgeway and that family lost everything. We would have, like, if we have, like, I didn't even know about this bylaw. We would have had to go to town, apply for this, wait weeks. Meanwhile, these people are suffering. Right. So the whole purpose of this is that we can just do these events for these people. So if someone has a tragic event like that, we can immediately put something together and have a dinner dance with live music or with a comedian or like we did with the Riches situation where we had a dinner and we had a comic that night. So it's not like as if we're always running to live music and noisy things. We do all kinds of things. We just don't feel that we have a disadvantage to other halls by having this bylaw because they don't have to do that.
Okay, that actually makes me feel much better because my support was to allow you to do fundraising initiatives. I do have concern by supporting this now that, you know, there might be continuing to have jam sessions. Councillor Butler said she was out personally and can appreciate the neighbors' complaints of how loud it is. So I'm just hopeful that, you know, if I do continue to support this motion this evening, that you're conscious of those band sessions and the loudness of it.
Absolutely. And we'll try and do things to rectify that problem. And one of them will be to speak to the renter. And the other thing is to try to, like, maybe put some things in the windows because the windows are where a lot of the volume is going to be. And where the stage is actually, like, that would be not facing, but that would be the closest to his house. It would also be where a window is right there. So maybe the stage, a band location would be at the other end of the hall would help even. So we could say to him, okay, no more at this end, we're going to go to that end, and we're going to put some curtains up on the windows. Because we don't have anything, because we can't afford it. But, I mean, we'll do something to afford it. We'll do a fundraiser to get curtains, because, you know, curtains block sound themselves. There's things we can do to help.
Councillor Nutt.
Thank you, Your Worship. Through you to Mr. McGuigan, what kind of rental agreement do you have? Do you have anything in writing, or are these rentals done on a handshake? And
handshake, yeah. Pretty much everything's on a handshake with us. We do have contracts. I have never once made someone sign it.
It's just, I don't know, it's the way I am.
Okay, I have some concerns because with your knowledge and background, especially with your son playing in a band, I kind of feel like you should know better than this, and I would expect that in the future that you underline the decibel level, especially if this renter is going to continue, and sure. that we not have this issue come before council or hear about it through bylaw again, because you know more than anybody, because you've hosted Battle of the Bands before, larger venues, I understand that. Your son's played in a band as well. I feel like you have intimate knowledge on how to dampen the sound, and if you're looking for a fundraiser, use egg cartons. Cardboard egg cartons.
Yeah, that's right.
Strapping on the wall outside and go over top of it, it'll dampen the sound.
Any other counselors? So if I could, just so that this is clear in my mind, every Friday this group comes and plays?
Correct.
And they pay you a rent?
Correct.
And how much is it?
I believe it's like $20 a rental.
So if they came 40 Fridays, you guys are making $800.
Yeah. You got to remember, our bills aren't that high. We don't have taxes. Basically, all we have is utilities.
I'm just trying to get a grasp on the magnitude of what we're about to do and what it might mean, because it's not just your building. Theoretically, every municipal arena and community center has the same rules that you do, so that every one of those facilities in a park has to obtain a permit to conduct an activity where there's going to be amplified sound.
We're the only hall that has to.
Well,
no other hall has a park attached to it in Fort Erie. We're the only hall.
Maybe the Crystal Ridge is treated differently than you. Maybe the Memorial Hall in Stevensville is treated differently, but they're in parks.
But it's the Lions Club that owns that hall, right? Like they're
sorry?
That's totally different. Town staff told me themselves we are the only hall that is considered for this.
Well, Crystal Ridge is leased from
the
municipality.
Lions.
It'd be the same type of arrangement that you have. I'm just a little concerned that we're in the process of changing a bylaw to accommodate an activity. I had understood that maybe there were some weddings or what have you as well going on, but it sounds like you may not have ever applied for a permit because you haven't had events in the evening where there's been amplified sound.
Only events. I was under the impression only events outside our building we had to. This was news to me that we had to inside.
Well, that's what brought this to our attention, the fact that if the building's in a park, that bylaw, this particular bylaw applies. So the suggested amendment was to permit amplified sound within the building without a permit up to a certain point in time in the evening.
Correct.
The way the current draft amendment or the amendment to the bylaw is worded, even the noise bylaw wouldn't apply. I'm thinking that that's really risking a change. In my view, the noise bylaw should apply regardless.
We weren't asking for the noise bylaw.
Right. Okay. So you would still be bound by the noise bylaw.
Correct.
And I understand how I've heard how some people in the 50 to 60 year age bracket can maybe try to relive their youth, but I'd hate to see their youth relived at the expense of their neighbors. So I don't know about the rest of council. I would like to accommodate the Kinsmen and all the other organizations in town that utilize the facilities that we have that are in parks on the one hand. On the other hand, I really would like to protect the residents. They're really at the mercy of what goes on in that building. So you've indicated that your intention is to try to deal with the situation if the bylaw is passed. Have no opposition to the noise bylaw continuing to apply.
Absolutely not.
And, there's a simple solution to this. Tell your renters to turn down the noise, that it's aggravating the neighbors. And if we change the bylaw, we can rechange the bylaw, and I'd hate for us to do that. I don't know if you have any other comments.
No, I think we're pretty covered.
Yeah. Okay. Any other councillors? Thank you very much, Mr. McLean. That ends the delegations and takes us to the consent agenda. Does anyone wish any items removed from the consent agenda? If not, Councillor Lubritz, you have the resolution with respect to this. And just for clarification, Madam Clerk, we have in the minutes of the Fort Erie Active Transportation Advisory Committee the resolution that Mr. Hernandez-Galliano and Mr. Patterak spoke of. By receiving these, do we approve the resolution that they had passed, or would we need to do that separately as well? All we're doing apparently is receiving these.
Through your worship, you would pass a separate motion.
We would have to pass a separate resolution. Okay, so that councillors are clear on that when we get to new business. Councillor Lubritz?
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. Moved by myself and seconded by Councillor McDermott that council approves the consent agenda items as recommended.
Are there any questions or comments? All those in favor? None opposed? That is carried. That then takes us to new business and inquiries. Councillor Butler.
Thank you, Your Worship. I wonder if I could ask staff to prepare a report with respect to shipping containers. I have some constituents that are interested in bringing in some containers from the states to facilitate a corporate need. And right now I'm at a loss to tell them what we can and cannot do. I wonder if we could do that.
So this raises the interesting issue of whether this is a motion to reconsider, because a few months ago, Councillor Lubritz moved that staff do something with respect to this. And I believe that it included all properties, not just commercial, industrial, but also residential. Is that what you're contemplating? All properties or just commercial?
I think it would be wise to include all properties, actually.
Okay, so then that would be, you'd have to give notice of motion to reconsider that resolution that we had defeated, motion that we had defeated before. You can give notice of that this evening, and then we'll deal with that at the next regular council meeting. It does need to be dealt with because it is in limbo. Are there any other items? Yes, please proceed.
Sorry, Your Worship. Thank you. I just wanted to send out a big shout-out, congratulations to the Ridgeway BIA for coming in first place for the communities in Bloom. I just wanted to say that they're a wonderful team to work with. They really pulled it together and decorated those streets with those beautiful flowers really well, and kudos to them. So thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Lubritz.
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. And again, same as Councillor Butler, I'd like to congratulate the Ridgeway BIA. But having said that, the Beautification Committee in Crystal Beach, they have been constantly trying to raise money to beautify Crystal Beach as well. And I got an email from one of the members of the Beautification Committee. And as everyone knows, Tim Hortons has their smiley face cookies on sale. And for purchasing the cookies, the proceeds go to local charities and local organizations. And the communities or the Beautification Committee has been selected for Crystal Beach to receive some of the funds. So I just want to encourage everybody, encourage staff, encourage all the residents of Fort Erie at Crystal Beach, that if you're passing by Tim Hortons to purchase a smiley face cookie, and you will be purchasing a flower, hopefully, for next year's display. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other councillors? Councillor Passero.
Thank you, Worship. I'd like at this time then to ensure that FEET's request for an active transportation master plan is forwarded to Budget Committee for consideration.
Well, I think that... Madam Clerk, my view on this is because the resolution that Councillor Passero refers to was contained in the minutes of the Active Transportation Advisory Committee, that we can deal with that this evening. without the need to give notice of motion.
Through your worship, I would agree with that.
So, Councillor Passero, if you would like to move that we move the Feet's resolution forward or at least support it, then that will kill not only that bird, but also the other aspects of their resolution.
Councillor Zanko, would you second that for me? Thank you. So that council would support Feet's request that an active transportation master plan be deliberated on during the budget cycle.
Could I just, would you be interested in moving their whole resolution, supporting their whole resolution?
I don't have it in front of me, but sure.
If you look in their minutes, if you look in their minutes, it's on page 3 and 4. There's some
If my seconder supports that, I would put that forward as well. And with thanks to Councillor Nutt and yourself for bringing that forward to the Region Committee.
Yes, okay, thank you. Is everybody clear on what's being requested then? Councillor Lubberts.
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. But I think we've all agreed that any motions that are brought forward be read in full for the viewing audience and a listening audience, so I would prefer that be read in full.
Okay. Do you have that in front of you now, Councillor DeCiro? I think that makes sense, and thank you, Councillor Lubberts.
Thank you, Dennis, for making it so lengthy.
I think this was Richard Patterack that did this, wasn't it?
We'll blame Richard.
Yeah.
Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Zanko, that whereas the Fort Erie Active Transportation Advisory Committee has been appointed by the Municipal Council of the Town of Fort Erie to act in an advisory capacity to Council and to raise awareness on matters of active transportation interest for the Town of Fort Erie. And further, whereas the Town of Fort Erie, the Regional Municipality of Niagara, and the Province of Ontario have identified active transportation as important to the health and well-being of residents. And further, whereas within the Town of Fort Erie, active transportation is succeeding with the use of the Friendship Trail and the Niagara Parkway Recreational Trail. And further, whereas all urban areas within the Town of Fort Erie should be interconnected by well-designed pedestrian and bicycle facilities. And further, whereas Stevensville remains disconnected to active transportation facilities within the Town of Fort Erie, and further, whereas Regional Road 116 between Stevensville and Ridgeway is the only public right-of-way feasibly wide enough to contain both a roadway for motorized vehicles and bike lanes with safe active routes for pedestrians, be it resolved that the Fort Erie Active Transportation Committee requests the support of the Municipal Council of the Town of Fort Erie in petitioning the Regional Municipality of Niagara Council, the Regional Municipality of Niagara Public Works Director, and the Regional Municipality of Niagara Medical Officer to study options for connecting Stevensville to Ridgeway for the purpose of active transportation along the Rural Route 116 right-of-way, and further, that the Region of Niagara includes recommendations for active transportation on the Rural Route 116 corridor as early as feasibly possible in its Public Works Capital Projects planning documents as a priority, and further, that this motion be forwarded by the Town of Fort Erie to the Chair of the Regional Municipality of Niagara and Regional Councillor Sandy Annunziata for their consideration and support, and further, that this motion be forwarded to MPP Wayne Gates and MP Rob Nicholson for their information.
So this is all prefaced by the Council of the Town of Fort Erie supports this resolution. Okay? Everybody clear? All those in favor? And opposed, that is carried. Thank you, Councillor Passero. Did you have anything further?
Yes, Your Worship. So that encompassed their desire from the regional perspective, but do we still need to do something to get their desire for an active transportation master plan referred for budget consideration? Which was talked about during their delegation.
Yeah, and they didn't actually, yeah, they referred to it in their delegation, but not in this. I would suggest that, yes, we would need a motion for that as well.
Second that, Councillor Zanko. So if I could, Your Worship, I'd like to move by myself, seconded by Councillor Zanko, that council request the preparation of a budgetary figure for a Fort Erie Active Transportation Master Plan be included for budget considerations as part of the supplemental budget.
Anyone have any questions or comments? All those in favor? Opposed, that is carried. Any other inquiries or new business? Not, then that takes us to motions. Councillor Passero.
Thank you, Your Worship. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Zanko. Whereas Waverly Beach is and has been a well-utilized neighborhood park for residents and a highlighted feature along the Friendship Trail, and whereas Waverly Beach features prominently in the town's waterfront strategy, and whereas the accumulation of algae has severely impacted the enjoyment of the beach and the corresponding smell is a nuisance to neighboring homes, now therefore be it resolved that Council directs staff to bring back a report outlining recommendations for an ad hoc committee to research initiatives and strategies to mitigate the accumulation of algae and work with the Ministry of Natural Resources to discuss better methods for the remediation and or removal of algae from the beach, and further that staff outline suggestions for a desirable composition to the committee.
And would you like to speak to that, Councillor Passero?
Thank you, Your Worship. I think my comments were noted when I prefaced that I would be bringing this forward, so I'd like to turn the chair over to Councillor Zanko, who has some remarks to add, if I could.
Well, I'm the chair, but I'll recognize her next.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Worship. I just had comments with regard to the more recent group that Councillor Lubberts actually has formed. He was very gracious to invite me to a meeting, and there really is a great amount of experts that sit on this panel, and it was very, very clear to me that we need to have a more focus on this, and interesting enough, I've been working with both Councillor Nutt and Councillor Passero over the past several years, talking to them, getting their thoughts as to, you know, how we can really focus on this and look at options to get this cleaned up. And I know there's a lot of restrictions regarding the Ministry of Natural Resources, but I guess what I'm getting at is this initial group that was formed. It was very informative. There is many experts who I would hope that perhaps would put their name forward to sit on this this committee moving forward, because it's very clear when you looked around that table and you look at the focus of many that a group like this is definitely needed, just to ensure that we're all kind of working in the same path.
Thank you. Any other councillors? Councillor Lubberts.
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. And thank you very much, Councillor Zanko, for bringing that up. And I'm just curious as to what sparked this ad hoc committee idea. I know that you said you've been speaking with the other councillors for many years, but just recently I put together a motion when our Environmental Advisory Committee was here, and I requested that staff bring forward a report and or not staff, but our Environmental Advisory Committee bring forward some recommendations that they could bring forward to council for consideration. And this council turned it down. And so my initial thoughts were at that evening that there was no interest. I didn't see any interest, and nobody brought any other ideas forward as to how we were going to work with or work to mitigate the problem down at Waverly Beach. So that is why I contacted the people that I contacted, and that's why I had the conversation with you that, you know, this is the things that I was doing, and I contacted our CAO. I spoke with him, let him know very well, you know, what the idea was behind my bringing my committee forward. And basically it is to bring not everybody on the same page, but to bring everybody into the same room so that we can all discuss what it is that we have. And I'm not an expert when it comes to shoreline restoration. I'm not an expert when it comes to algae. And that's why I asked for a marine biologist to come in and sit at our meeting. And that's why I asked Robin Arnott, who is a coastal engineer, and he wrote a book on coastal management, coastal restoration. So, and I brought in a botanist so that we would know all the things. We could gather all the information that's required, because when we go to M&R, we need to know what it is that we have here and what it is that we're actually requesting, because we have to have a plan in order to move forward. And that's why I put that committee together. If this ad hoc committee is going to include this committee, then the problem that we have with that is I'm the chair of this committee, and from what I understand, it's quite obvious that there's three other members of council that want to sit on this ad hoc committee. That would put four councilors at one meeting.
Well, that's not part of this resolution.
I know that isn't part of the resolution, but that's the intent. Because
I know they didn't
bring it forward, but that's the way it's written on our agenda.
Well, it's not part of this resolution, so your comments,
that's right.
Your comments
so I can,
are out
but
of
I
order.
Can still comment on what I feel the direction of this ad hoc committee is going.
Well,
thank
we don't
you very much.
We don't know the direction, but and just for clarification, Councillor Lubertz, I've looked at the minutes of the regular council meeting of June the 19th. With respect to this issue about, that was the evening that the Environmental Advisory Committee came out, and you asked, according to the minutes, if a motion should be put forward to request EAC to report on how to remove conditions at Waverly Beach with beach grasses and perhaps contact the MNR regarding options to have the man-made piers removed because of the algae problem. Mayor Redekop suggested that EAC present material to Mr. Kernahan to enable staff to bring a report forward, and that staff can also contact the MNR. Mr. Brady advised that the town has an active program with the nature clubs in Fort Erie, of which Waverly Beach is at the center, with beach grasses planted extensively there, and this is being monitored. He reminded council that a lot of the structure is not town land, but privately held land. Mayor Redekop mentioned that Ms. LaRocque referenced the east side of Waverly Beach for beach grass and asked that staff communicate between her, blah, blah. So I don't believe that there was a motion that was put forward that particular evening, and I do believe that EAC was encouraged to present information to Mr. Kernahan, according to the minutes.
Well, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. I guess what's not in the minutes is when I asked for that, your comment was that's not what we do with the committees in the with the Town of Fort Erie committees is to bring forward a report. And I wasn't asking them to bring forward the report. I was asking them to go down and look at some things and give some recommendations. And from my recollection, I didn't say we would go to M&R with them. I wanted staff to bring forward some options, something that we could work with and move forward with working with the algae problem. So I don't know where M&R came into that. I knew that we would have to deal with M&R, I was requesting a report from staff.
Well, there wasn't a formal motion put forward that evening, and I don't recall the conversation. I'm just looking at the minutes. So it doesn't appear that there was a formal motion put forward. However,
What was the date of that again? I'll listen to the audio.
That's fine. This is the minutes from the June 19th regular council meeting. And you're correct. There will be more in the audio, I'm sure, than what are in the minutes. These minutes were approved by council at the July 17th regular council meeting.
And I'm assured that the audio is approved as well.
Thank you. That I don't know. I don't know that we approved the audio. I think we just approved the minutes. Is there any further discussion with respect to this issue, Councillor Passero?
Thank you, Your Worship. My recollection is similar to yours, and I believe at the conclusion of EAC, I believe many councillors spoke very positively about their ability to contribute to this issue and said that we'd like to take them up on the issue. And I thought, as an individual councillor, that's where this was going to track, that at some point in the future we would receive something back from EAC specific to this issue. I was kind of caught off guard when a group of people had been formed to discuss the issue, and that's exactly what that was. It's a group of people. It's not a committee. There's no representative to the committee. It was a group of individuals meeting. This process formalizes it, and this comes on the heels of conversations that Councillor Nutt and I had with the Minister of Natural Resources at AMO. This helps to formalize the process for two reasons. It internalizes and strengthens and provides direction for what staff are going to do at the request of council, as council is the only one that can request reports or put committees together. And secondly, gives us a foothold should we go further with discussions with the MNR. So it is not in disrespect or disparagement to individuals who have put their time forward so far, but anything that we do as a council has to go through council. And that is not the sense that I was getting from that committee. And that's why we're going to formalize this, so that we can debate and deliberate on the issues of how we want to tackle this. And that's what this committee will be assigned to do. If ultimately we approve it. This is just asking staff to come back with some ideas. They may come back and say, you're nuts, Pacero. Don't waste your time. We'll deliberate when the time comes. This is just to set the stage for that committee, and my preamble speaks to what I would expect that committee to do should it be formulated. Thank you.
Sure, they'll be more respectful than that, Councillor Pacero.
They're usually not, Your Worship.
Sorry to hear that. Councillor Nutt.
Thank you, Your Worship. When I was first elected in 2014, Councillor and I, Lubbers and I did tour Waverly Beach, and there was heavy discussion at that time between the two of us on how we could reclaim the beach and move this forward. So this has been an issue on my radar since 2017. At the June 19th meeting, I specifically asked for a report or for EAC, and it was suggested that the Burt Miller Nature Club be the ones to identify the invasive plant species, bring that information back to council, which we have not received as of yet. So in my spare time, I have been working on this issue. I've gathered plenty of information on research on the toads, the American toads that there. I've looked for endangered species that could populate that area. I've had a person who is a friend of mine, a long, lifelong friend of mine, who came in from BC while visiting family in Toronto and Quebec, came down here, toured Waverly Beach, gave me suggestions prior to AMO, which I then approached the Minister of Natural Resources with at AMO, because they are interested in cleanups and removal of invasive species, and they provided a plethora of information, which I've gathered for Councillor Butler and Councillor Zenko and discussed with her just on a go forward strategy. So it's been something that, you know, since I've been elected from day one, that has been on my radar. I used to visit Waverly Beach and swim there as a child and a young adult, and I'd like to see the beach made usable again.
So just in response to that, there was an indication in the EAC minutes that Tim Seaburn is going to be visiting Waverly Beach, and apparently is planning on reporting to the EAC meeting on September the 20th. Is that the next EAC meeting, Councillor Lubberts? So that is something that they have followed up. Any further discussion on this, Councillor Lubberts?
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. Just a couple comments. I find it interesting Councillor Pacero didn't know about the group that I was working with. I explained it all to Councillor Zanko weeks before the meeting took place, and she indicated that you guys have been talking about this for years, and I'm surprised that she didn't bring that up in your conversations, that I was going to sit down with a group of people and try to gather some information about Waverly Beach. And Councillor Nutt's comments on the invasive species, the invasive plant species is what we were talking about, and Mayor Redekop is exactly right. The list is there. But before it comes to council, the people that put the list together want to bring it to the Environmental Advisory Committee meeting before they present it to council. And I should inform everybody as well that once that list was put together by the members of EAC, it was presented to Albert Garofalo, who's the botanist that's working with the Burt Miller Nature Club. And they just wanted to make sure that the plants that they identified as being invasive were definitely invasive. So that list will be coming to council after the EAC meeting. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Call the question. All those in favor? Opposed? That is carried. Are there any notices of motion? Councillor Butler.
Thank you, Your Worship. I'd like to give notice to reconsider the motion brought forward originally by Councillor Lubberts to have staff prepare a report regarding shipping containers for all properties.
Just repeat the end of that again.
To have staff prepare a report regarding shipping containers and its uses for all properties.
Mr. Brady, is that adequate for your purposes in terms of the body of the motion, or is there something further that you and Councillor Butler would need to discuss to provide further direction to you or your staff?
What I understand from that motion is that Councillor Butler is asking for an information report on shipping containers and properties.
If we reconsider.
If the matter is reconsidered. So if it's reconsidered, staff would be putting together an information report.
Okay, that's fine then. Okay, anything further on your notice of motion?
Thank you.
Councillor Lubberts.
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. I'm just a little confused here with this reconsideration. If we're reconsidering, we are reconsidering the motion that I brought forward.
That's
right. Is that correct? Yes. Right. Okay, thank you.
Just notice a motion that we're going to reconsider that, and if council decides to reconsider it, then we know what the motion staff. Councillor Butler?
Thank you, Your Worship, and I'll be honest with you. I don't even remember what his motion was. I'm simply wanting a report from staff regarding what the potential uses of shipping containers can be for the municipality of Fort Erie by all properties. Because there are corporations that require the use of that. There are some independent businesses that are looking to create more sustainable growth with nutritious foods. So that's one of the uses.
What we will do between now and the next regular council meeting, the clerk will have an opportunity to determine what the nature of Councillor Lubert's resolution was or motion was. If it looks like it needs to be reconsidered, that will be the nature of your motion. If it doesn't look like it's similar, but I believe it is, then you can simply proceed with your motion. But we'll determine that over the next 2 weeks. Councillor Lubberts, did you have anything further that you wanted to add?
No, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. Just that I think in the rules of procedure, we're allowed to deal with an item twice in a year. And since it was a motion that was brought forward and that was defeated, if it's going to be brought forward again, it has to be a reconsideration. It can't be a new motion.
Right.
I believe that's the way it works.
Yeah, that could very well be. And we're going to clarify that. I haven't had a chance to research exactly what your motion was because I was busy researching the June regular council meeting. Okay. Are there any other notices of motion? If not, then we'll move to consideration of bylaws. Councillor Zanko, you have to remove 109, and I think we should deal with 105 separately as well. That's the bylaw to amend parks and beaches bylaw.
Thank you. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Passero, that bylaw package containing 105-2017 to amend Parks and Beaches bylaw number 119-03 as amended.
Let's deal with that after we do package.
Okay.
6, 7, and 8.
Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Passero, that 106-2017 to authorize the sale of part of the closed Cook Avenue road allowance on the south side of Hyman Avenue, plan 4340 Hyman Avenue, to Michael James Reinhart and Andrea Lynn Seabrook, bylaw number 107-2017, to deem a certain registered plan of subdivision not to be a registered plan of subdivision pertaining to the sale of lands to Ken Mathewson, 353 Ridgeway Road, bylaw number 108-2017 to amend zoning bylaw number 129-90, 185 Catherine Street, Jennifer Vida, Upper Canada Consultants, agent, 800547 Ontario Limited, Ed Lichichin, owner, is given first and second reading.
All those in favor? And opposed, that is carried. Those bylaws are on the floor for any questions or comments. If there are none, then Councillor McDermott, could you proceed with third and final reading of the bylaw package as amended, please? 5 and 109. Yep.
Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Lubers, that bylaws 106-2017, 107-2017, 108-2017, a given third and final reading to be signed by the mayor and clerk until under the corporate seal.
Are there any questions or comments? All those in favor? None opposed? That is carried. Councillor Zanka, could you then proceed with the first and second reading of bylaw 105, please?
105. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Passero, that bylaw package containing 105-2017 to amend Parks and Beaches bylaw number 119-03 as amended amplified music is given first and second reading.
All those in favor? Opposed? All right, so that bylaw is on the floor for questions or comments.
Thank you, Your Worship. I'd like to make an amendment to this bylaw, actually, with the wording. So I'd like to introduce the amendment to Section 3I to delete from the proposed amendment to Section 3I the word notwithstanding and insert in lieu of the words subject to. I think that if we change that, then after speaking with our town lawyer, that it will allow for the noise bylaw to come into play.
Okay. Is everybody clear on that amendment? So then instead of saying notwithstanding, which would mean this bylaw would be supreme, it's subject to any other bylaws, which would include the noise bylaw. Everybody clear on that?
I don't know. I think that if I remember correctly, the way the our town solicitor changed the bylaw is because we had to have the notwithstanding, because if we didn't, then all the other bylaws would supersede this bylaw.
Yeah, you know what?
Maybe our town solicitor can explain it a little better. But
that's a very good point, because I had been of a similar impression until there was some further communication this weekend, and then I actually read the noise bylaw in its entirety and this bylaw. Mr. Lustig, you're going to be steering us through these shoal-filled waters, I presume.
Troubled waters.
They're very troubled if there's shoals in them.
Your assessment, Mayor Redekop, was correct. Notwithstanding and subject to are kind of the opposites. And so if you want to have the zoning or the noise bylaw as supreme, you need to have the Parks bylaw make it. That's exactly what is trying to be accomplished, I think, with this amendment.
But Councillor Butler's proposed amendment would then subject to the noise bylaw.
That's right. It would invoke the noise bylaw as the, I think you used the term supreme. I'll use that term, supreme bylaw.
I don't think I said supreme, but people are telling me there's a lot of stuff that I've been saying that I haven't remembered. Okay, Councillor Lubitz, is that clear? Okay. Are there any other questions with respect to that proposed amendment? I'll call the question on the amendment. All those in favor? Opposed? That is carried. Are there any other questions or comments with respect to this bylaw?
Yes. Thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. You know, when this bylaw and when the discussion of this bylaw came up, I was under the impression as the same as Councillor Zanko, and I think the same as yourself. I thought that we were going to change this bylaw to accommodate the Kinsmen Club when they were having an event. And apparently that's not so. So now what's happening, from what I can see now, is they can just rent this out to band members, and they could play anytime. No permit, just go out and play. I mean, I don't know that was the intent of the bylaw in the beginning, was to allow these just to rent the hall so that a band can go in there and practice. Am I wrong on that?
I may.
Or Lustig?
So there are two circumstances. Up to 11 o'clock, they can rent it to someone to use.
Bylaw says 11:30.
Or sorry, it became 11:30. Originally, I guess it was 11:11. And after 11:30, they need a permit. Was last time it was around, except it was 11 instead of 11. Choice made to extend that. So they do need a permit after 11:30. I think the change that's being suggested today is a change that invokes the bylaw, so that if they rent it, whether it's without a permit or with a permit, instead of what it previously read, which was notwithstanding the noise bylaw, and therefore the noise bylaw, so the noise bylaw would apply. So a person who had a rental agreement or whatever it is, handshake, that would be subject to the noise bylaw if this amendment were passed and would have to obtain a permit if they were playing amplified music after 11:30.
Yes, I understand that, but I mean, I was under the impression that this was for their events, and this isn't an event. This is a Friday night jam session with a bunch, with a group of people that are in a band, apparently. But I mean, I know a lot of band members, and I have a lot of friends that plays in bands, and bands play Fridays and Saturday nights at events. And so I have to question what this band, where they play and what nights they play, because if they're practicing on Friday nights, then obviously they're not being hired. And I mean, I don't know that I can support this. That's what I was under the impression of. And if that's not the way it's going to be, and we're going to just be renting this out, and I mean, I don't know how the Kinsmen plan on paying their way with their hall. I mean, $20 seems to me is a pretty cheap rental. And I don't know. I don't think that I can be supporting this here at all tonight.
Any other comments, Councillor Passero?
Thank you, Your Worship. I just want to remind everyone that the Ridgeway Crystal Beach Kinsmen didn't come forward to us seeking relief from or changes to this bylaw to permit this band. It was the noise of this band that precipitated further investigation into the process and the legalities and what they should and shouldn't be doing that started this process. So their intent is not to get us to do these things to permit this particular band. Their intent is to eliminate the paperwork, the process for all of the events they've been doing that haven't caused any issues. This is really the first one, and that's why this ball got rolling. I fully support the reason we're doing this. I think that Mr. McGuigan and Ms. Horning got the message this evening, and I think that if rational thoughts prevail at the next Ridgeway Crystal Beach Kinsmen meeting, I think they'll have to decide whether or not $800 a year of income or potential income is worth the headaches of the neighbor complaints and everything that goes along with it. Because even to the neighbor's point of view, this was really the first time that they'd had to become engaged. So it hasn't been an issue, but they're not appearing before us requesting this so this band can play. It was the other way around. So I support the bylaw as amended, and going forward, I hope that they're cognizant of who they choose to rent it to. So as Your Worship, you stated earlier, we don't have to rescind the kindness that we're showing tonight, because we really are going out on a ledge for them, and hopefully they heed the warnings that were provided this evening. Thank you.
I'm wondering if anybody has any concerns about the 11:30 zero.
I did originally, but I don't. And in reading through the noise bylaw and speaking to a couple members of staff, that the noise bylaw is 24/7. I think there's kind of a perception out there in the community that, well, you can't have loud music or obnoxious music or ongoing music of any kind or disturbances past a certain point or before a certain point in the morning, and that's not the case. You can have a noise bylaw infraction at 3 in the afternoon. It's a matter of how that's determined. So I don't really have an issue as far as 11:30, because to be quite honest, they've been having these events up until now with no issues. To 11 to 11:30 and sometimes till midnight, and they've been doing just fine. It really is this particular rental that has caused the angst in the neighborhood. And whether this rental is going to 11:30, 11, or 8 p.m., if they're going at the volume that they've been going, it's a noise bylaw infraction.
Okay. Any other counselors? Okay. Then I'll go to a third and final reading, Councillor Dermott.
Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Lubberts, that bylaws 105-2017 is given third and final reading to be signed by the mayor and clerk under the corporate seal.
Any other questions or comments? There being none, all those in favor? Opposed? That is carried. So then, Councillor Zanko, could you do the first and second reading for bylaw 109, please?
Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Passero, the bylaw package containing 109-2017 to amend zoning bylaw number 129-90 as amended, removal of holding provision 2626 Winger Road, Beam Railco Limited, Alfred Beam, is given first and second reading.
All those in favor? Sorry, all those in favor? I was distracted. that is carried. That bylaw is on the floor for questions or comments. Any questions or comments? If not, Councillor McDermott, would you please proceed to third and final reading?
Yes, Your Worship. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Lubbers. Bylaw 109-2017 is given third and final reading to be signed by the Mayor and Clerk under the corporate seal.
Questions or comments? All those in favor? None opposed? That is carried. Councillor Butler, you have the next resolution.
Mayor Redekop.
Resolution number 6.
Yeah, I left a memo with you, Mayor Redekop.
We'll come to that before we get to, this is the confirmatory bylaw. So we'll come to that before we deal with scheduling of meetings. I've got your memo, and thank you for reminding me of that. Councillor Butler.
Moved by myself and seconded by Councillor McDermott that bylaw number 110-2017 to confirm the actions of Council at its special and regular Council meetings held on September 11th, 2017 is given first and second reading.
All those in favor? None opposed? That is carried. Councillor Passero, final reading.
Thank you, Your Worship. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Zanko, that bylaw number 110-2017 is given third and final reading to be signed by the Mayor and Clerk under the corporate seal.
Any questions or comments? All those in favor? That is carried. Councillor Lubberts, you quite correctly pointed out that we were going to raise some questions relative to Mr. Winkleman's delegation. We failed to do that under new business, so we're going to go back to new business specifically for that purpose, and you have the floor.
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. I have to admit I'm not really familiar with what the agreement was and what the arrangements were initially with the row housing that was built there, and I'm assuming that it was because of the construction and the amount of traffic with heavy equipment and dump trucks and concrete trucks and so on that there would be some damage to the roads, and that's why they had to make their road improvements, I would assume. And then the sidewalk issue, I don't understand what it is, and I'm just wondering if staff can bring us a report to outline or update us with everything, and then we can make our decision.
I don't think they need to bring us a report, but what they can do is provide us a memo with respect to these various issues, because I'm thinking that this cuts across both planning and infrastructure services. So Mr. Brady or Mr. Walsh, one of you can provide us with a memo to provide some comment.
Certainly. We did provide a memo dated September the 8th to Mayor and Council from Jeremy, and it outlined that the three matters, in simplicity, there was a site plan approval given to this property, and as part of the site plan approval, certain works were to be done. They wanted to open up the road to put in the servicing, like cut a trench to put in their servicing. We agreed to do that, that they could do that as long as when they were finished that they would return the road and then put a final coat of asphalt on the top of it. Everything has been done as part of the site plan agreement with the exception of the planting of the trees, which we've been after them for some time, a final lot grading plan, which we've been after for them from some time, and the paving of Cambridge Road. We're holding $31,380 as a security deposit. They want their money back.
What was the time on that memo? Do you have it?
This matter was dealt with by council in 2006.
No. The memo. I've got two.
Oh, I'm sorry. The memo is dated September 8th, 2017.
But it came from Cheryl Watson.
No, the memo came. Yes, the memo. Yes, I'm sorry.
Circulated to us by
yes,
Cheryl Watson.
Cheryl circulated it. The memo itself was written by Jeremy.
Okay, so we do have the memo. And we can take a look at that. And Councillor Lubberts, or members of council, if any of you wish to raise this, can be raised at the council and committee meeting next week. We can see what Councillor Lubberts?
Yes, thank you very much. So just to be clear, that was the agreement during site plan that they would fix the road and plant the trees. And did they give any indication as to why it is now they don't feel that they should fix the road? I know he showed us some pictures of the condition of the road. My first impression was, well, yeah, that's what you have to fix.
And
is there something else I'm missing?
I think we should look at the memos, two of them that were attached to an email from Cheryl Watson last Friday, September the 8th, and that will give some background, and if there are further questions, we can probably delve into it then.
Okay, all right, thank you.
There's a photograph, some photographs as well. Okay. That takes us to scheduling of meetings. Thank you.
Thank you, Your Worship. Just wanted to point out that this week, Tim Hortons is having their smile cookie sales, and all the proceeds are going to the new Center of Arts. So just wanted to make...
We have two reasons to buy smile cookies.
Mm-hmm.
Beautification.
And that's at the four dairy stores as far as Crescent Park main store, and I believe Stevensville.
Just have to do the tour, I guess.
Well, every day.
By the time they go through Crescent Park, by the time they get to Crystal Beach, they may need another cookie. So, yeah.
Any others? Councillor Passero.
Thank you, Your Worship. Two things I wanted to mention. First, now that we're into fall, and I don't want to be the first one to mention it, but Christmas is just 3 and some months away. So the Santa Claus Parade this year, Saturday, November 18th, and I have bowed into pressure the last 3 years to do an evening parade. So we're going to do a 4 p.m. start for the parade to commemorate this year being the 45th anniversary of the Santa Claus Parade in Fort Erie, and we do have some neat things planned, so I'd like to put that on my colleague's schedule, Saturday, November 18th, 4 p.m. And if I could, Your Worship, I just wanted to say something. I don't often talk about my personal life publicly because, A, it's not very exciting, and, B, the times that are, you can usually read about it online before I find out about it. But I did have a little bit of a medical emergency about a week ago. And I just wanted to thank Gary and Nick, who were the two ambulance attendants who took care of me, the people at Greater Niagara General Hospital, who literally saved my life between here and there. And it's thanks to those individuals that I can sit here tonight. So I wanted to say that publicly. I appreciated everything that they did for me.
Thank you. Any other meetings? Councillor Butler.
Thank you, Your Worship. Just have a question. I'm so thankful you're still alive too, Councillor Passero, but could you tell us if we wanted to put a float into the parade, how would we go about doing that?
Absolutely, Councillor Butler. So your first line of contact would be myself, and they can either go through you, and if you'd like to forward it to me, or if they want to contact me directly through spacero@forterie.ca, and I'll respond with the appropriate registration form and work with whatever group it is to ensure that they have what they need to be able to participate. But we encourage everyone to participate. It is a much-beloved community event here in town.
Any other meetings? On September the 20th, the first intermunicipal transit meeting of the regional committee takes place, and I'll be there. So if there are no other meetings scheduled, Councillor Nutt, you look like you're anxiously awaiting the last resolution of the evening.
Thank you, Your Worship. Yes, that's the news, and we're out of here. So moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Zanko, that Council adjourns at 8:16 p.m. to reconvene in a regular meeting of Council on September 25th, 2017.
All those in favor? That is carried unanimously. Thank you.